May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. There has been a question nagging at me all week as I have read and reread the gospel story for today. Who is Thomas's twin? John goes out of his way to point out that Thomas is a twin, but he does not tell us who this twin is. And it could be that it's a member of the community that John wrote for, and that everybody knows who that twin is, but we don't. We do know that it is not Peter and Andrew or James and John, because they are all listed as brothers, not as triplets. Thomas could have been Matthew's twin. Or even more intriguing, maybe Mary Magdalene was his twin sister. Or perhaps it was Judas Iscariot, and that is why the twin is not named. But all of this is pure speculation. We really don't know. But none of that explains the real reason that John goes out of his way to state that Thomas is a twin. And there could be another fascinating answer to the question, who is Thomas's twin? And the answer between the lines is apparently meant to be us. We are Thomas's twin. For all of us are a mixture of fear and doubt, pessimism and trust, belief and unbelief. Now, Saint Thomas seems to have a bad reputation. He has been known throughout history as doubting Thomas. But if you look at how he is portrayed in the Gospel of John, he is the one who has the courage to ask the questions that many of us are asking, or have asked, or at some point in our life will ask. So it does seem that we are Thomas's twin. There is a wonderful scene in the Gospel of John just after Jesus has washed the disciples' feet that he begins to teach his final discourses. And Jesus is sitting with his disciples around the table, and he begins by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." I can imagine, after Jesus has finished saying those words, all of the disciples sitting around are looking at one another and quietly asking the question if any of them knew where Jesus was going. But it is Thomas who had the courage to ask, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" A question that many of us ask from time to time: is there a heaven? What happens to us after death? Is this all there is to life? And Thomas asks the question for us. And again, in today's gospel story, and Thomas hears that the others are saying about how they have seen the Lord and that he is risen from the dead, Thomas needs physical proof. He needs to see the mark of the nails in Jesus' hand and the sword spear in his side. He needs to have physical proof. And again, Thomas is voicing our need for a sign. Don't we say from time to time, "If only I had the certainty of some sign. If only I could be certain. Wouldn't it be nice if God gave us a sign that God exists?" We can get caught up in the injustices of the world around us. We watch TV and see the horrors of war right in front of our very eyes. We hear about police brutality against young minority men. We read about the indiscriminate bombing of Gaza and the growing famine that is happening there. And we see people we know and even ourselves receiving scary medical diagnoses. And we sometimes raise our fists to God and ask, why? We say to ourselves, I'm not sure that there is a God. I am not positive there isn't one either. I don't know for sure. It would be so nice to have an unmistakable sign that there truly is a God. Wouldn't it be nice to know that everything is going to be all right in the end? With all of the nonsense and hardship and difficulties of life, wouldn't it be good to know that everything is going to turn out all right? That all evil people will be punished? All good people will be rewarded, and all of the people who are oppressed will see justice. But the fact is, we don't have that certainty, and we become like Thomas's twin. And what does Scripture say about that? Scripture does not give us a direct answer to how to deal with our uncertainty. It leaves room for faith, but we can get some hints from it. Sometimes we need to read between the lines of the story and look for a deeper meaning in the text and see what it is actually saying. If we do that, we can see that Thomas was not with the other disciples when Jesus first appeared. When all of the disciples were rejoicing that they had seen the risen Jesus, Thomas was left out. He was not present. We don't know why he wasn't there, but that's not the point. The point is that not being with the fellowship of the disciples, Thomas missed out. We belong to a community of faith for a reason. We belong for the times when things get tough and we need a group of people to be there for us. We belong for the times when we see others who are in need of love, care, and support. We belong because we realize that we cannot do this journey of life on our own. We need others to help us along the way. There is a wonderful story about a wise old priest and a young man sitting by the fire one night in a pub on a cold, dark evening. The young man is trying to convince the old priest that there is absolutely no need for the church, that he can worship God anywhere. And as the young man is talking, the old priest took the poker for the fire and pulled out a couple coals and placed them on the stone hearth. As the young man kept talking, the priest watched the coals as they slowly went out. And once the young man had finished his tirade, the priest pointed to the coals and asked, "Why do the coals go out?" The young man thought for a while and finally said that the coals went out because they were not with the other coals. The coals needed each other to keep the fire going. And the priest smiled and quietly said, "That is why we need the church." Sean, Leslie, Reza, Ashie, Alex, and Maurice, you are promising today that you will be a follower of Jesus, and you are formally joining a community of faith. In a few minutes, we as a community will promise to you that we will do all in our power to support you in your life. And in turn, you will promise that you will care and support others. There will be times when fear, doubt come into your life. There will be times when you feel like Thomas, that you cannot be present with the community for some reason. There will be times when it seems as if God has abandoned you. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with this. And there is nothing to be ashamed of. It is the reality of all relationships. There is hardly a spouse that has not doubted the other at one time or another. There is hardly a friendship that hasn't had its weak moments. And there is hardly a believer who has not known Christ's absence in their life. But the scriptures, again, is strong and challenging because it says that we, like Thomas, must remain in or return to our faith community. And there we, too, can cry out, "My Lord and my God," even when it is more a question than it is a statement. You are not alone. We are not alone. And there is a wonderful prayer that the dean will pray after all of you have been baptized. She will pray to God to send the Holy Spirit into your life to sustain you, to give you an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere in all things, and a spirit to know and to love God. This prayer is said not just for you, but for all of us, because we need to hear these words too. We need to be encouraged in the good times and in the bad, to know that the Holy Spirit is in us and that we are never alone. Yes, I believe that we are Thomas's twin because we have questions that need to be answered and faith that needs to grow. May we find courage to express our doubts and fears in a community of faith that will support and care for us always.